Welcome this Sunday to Wooddale Church, where we conclude Wooddale's Worldwide Week with a special focus on the blessings of God and sharing those blessings with others. Our theme for this morning is based upon the whole concept of the joy of blessing others. And I've got to point out to you something that I have never done before. If you look in your program at the note sheet that we encourage people to use every week, it is for the first time for me ever set up as a fill-in-the-blank. So that means if you're second grade or higher, you should be able to do this. And we have certified teachers at all doors to check on the way out. And if you don't get it right, you have to stay for the next service in order to do it the second time around. If you look in the back of your program, you will see some ads, and in the upper left-hand corner is one for Faith Matters Live. That is at 6 o'clock tonight here in the Worship Center, and let me tell you about it because I am really excited and hope and want for you to come. Faith Matters is the daily radio program of Wooddale Church. It is heard on our flagship station, KTIS, here in the Twin Cities, but is on from California to New Jersey, from Minneapolis to Asheville, North Carolina, to Fort Lauderdale, and elsewhere across America. And tonight, we are just going to have a marvelously good time. We're going to actually tape a program. We're going to have some music. We have Chuck Knapp, who is the drive time host on KTIS and often talks about Faith Matters. And we're going to do some actually fun and surprising things. And Krispy Kreme has donated 100 dozen donuts for tonight. So we've sent some people over this afternoon to pick them up fresh, and we figure by the time they get here, there ought to be at least 40 of them left. So you come, and they will be free. It is just going to be a great time, so please be back at 6 o'clock tonight for that. Not mentioned there in the back, but the front page article on the church news is about George Gallup Jr., who will be here on Thursday night. He's actually here during the week, Thursday through Saturday, with a conference called Next Church, sponsored by the Wooddale Center. But the public event is on Thursday evening, and $10 tickets are available at the ticket desk today. He will talk about trends in contemporary American life, and he who has this famous name from the Gallup poll will be especially interesting in view of this coming Tuesday's general election and the enormous amount of attention that it is being given. So I hope that you will come. It will be well worth your while. You have already received, but if not, there is a faith promise card right in front of you. And if you haven't filled it out, I invite you to take it out and to complete it now. You can tear it in half, turn half of it in at any of the information desks, and keep the other half for a reminder. And it is an indication of what you anticipate your personal giving will be to the worldwide cause of Jesus Christ through Wooddale Church in the year 2003. Let me explain some things. One is that it is very important, as you generously give week by week, to indicate which of the funds of Wooddale Church to which you are giving. You can do that through regular offering envelopes that are available in a packet form, or you can use the envelopes that are available there in the pews. But there are three funds to Wooddale Church. The one is the general or the ministry fund, and that pays for all that we do here on this campus. The second is a building fund, and that provides construction of new buildings. And the third is our evangelism fund, or our missions fund. And it's necessary for you to indicate when you make a gift where you want that to go. Our dream and hope and prayer is that Wooddalers in the year 2003 will give $1.8 million or more to Wooddale's worldwide missions ministry. That will send more than 70 missionaries to 32 countries. It will help to feed the hungry and bless the poor and start churches and print Bibles and make more disciples for Jesus Christ. I just strongly encourage you to make a faith promise. That's an indication. It's not a guarantee. But even more important than filling out the faith promise card, as good as that is your regular generosity through this year and next for the worldwide cause of Jesus Christ. Let's now pray together. We tell you, our Father, that we are delighted in the generosity and the gifts that you provide for us. We are rich recipients of all that you have bestowed upon us, and we thank you for that, and ask that you will challenge and bless us afresh with the opportunity to give to others in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear now the word of God from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Have you ever dreamed that you inherited really big bucks and worried about what you're going to do with that money? Okay, here's the deal. Let's suppose that you find out this week that you inherited $100 million from somebody that is a benevolent relative that you don't even know anything about. Now, here's the question. What are you going to do with that money? So let's suppose you're going to buy a new car. Okay, help me. What would you buy? Okay, we have one used Civic. Is there anything else? A Viper. You know, just looking at you, I sort of sense that right off the top. That's good. A Viper. All right. Any others? A Humvee. All right. Okay. When you drive it to church, only take 4 parking places because we have very limited parking. Okay. If you could take a vacation anywhere in the world, $100 million to do it, where would you go? Hawaii? Australia. Okay. Any place else? Italy. New Zealand? Norway. It's kind of like going home, isn't it? Yeah, right? Okay. What if you could live anywhere in the world? Where would you live? Here in San Diego are the two winners so far, okay? Hey, I did this last night, and somebody said, shouted it out, Iowa! Wow. All right, so suppose that you inherit $100 million unexpectedly, and now you can give $10,000 to somebody. Who would you give the money to? She said to me. Well, let's just quit while we're ahead here. There's no reason to go any further. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you. There's some other conditions in the inheritance. You see, this benefactor talked to a lawyer before drawing this up. And the lawyer said that a lot of people sort of squander their money and it's all gone. So it's set up so you don't get the $100 million all at once. What you're going to get is $5,000 next week, $10,000 next month, $50,000 next year. And then you're going to be monitored to see how you do with the money that you get. And if you do well, then you're going to get more. But if you don't do well, then there's a provision in the last will and testament to divert this inheritance to other people. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to Abram and to his story where God promised him a great future. And here was the deal that God gave to Abram. Number one, he was to leave his home in Ur of the Chaldeans and head west. Number two, God promised to direct him with GPS, that's God Positioning Satellite Service. And number three, God will give Abram big blessings, fame, land, family, descendants, money, and more. So why would God do this? Well, the answer is so that Abram can bless others. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And much of the rest of the Old Testament is the story of how God poured out these blessings on Abram and his descendants and what they did with the blessings that they got. And it all speaks to a very basic principle from the Bible on how life works. That when it comes to getting and giving, there are two totally opposite approaches. One is a no-no approach, and the other is a yes approach. The no approach is to do good and God owes you. And the yes approach is that God blesses us and we bless others. Here's the way it goes. The no approach is well-meaning, and it is, unfortunately, ultimately self-centered, because it's all about us, and unfortunately, it frankly doesn't work in the long term. But there are those that think it through, and they say it like this. You know, if I do everything right, then God's got to bless me. So I put $100 in the church offering, and God owes me $1,000. It's a great return on investment. If I'm nice to my spouse, then God's going to give me a great marriage. If I'm nice to other people, God is going to be nice to me. If when I'm out in the parking lot, I bypass the best parking place and let somebody else have it, then God will see to it that my doors don't get dinged wherever I park. I mean, it is this equation that I then have God obligated to me. The problem with this approach is it just doesn't work. Because God doesn't owe us anything. And when we start thinking that we have obligated God, we have set ourselves up to be disappointed with God. Because we have put ourselves in control. And there are people that do this all the time. In fact, there's some people that become not only disappointed with God, but deeply angry with God. Because they made up this one-sided contract in their mind and feel that God did not come through with his end of the deal. So let's try the yes approach. The yes way is God-centered, and it is full of gratitude, and it actually works. In this approach, God always goes first. God takes the initiative. God gives multiple blessings to us so that we, in turn, can bless others. He gives us $1,000 so that we can put $100 in the church offering plate. He gives us a marriage so that we can be good in that marriage. He's nice to us so that we can be nice to others. He protects our car so that we can give that parking place to somebody else. God blesses us, and we bless others. Now, if that's true, let's try counting the blessings of God. First of all, and most of all, are the spiritual blessings. St. Paul wrote about them in Ephesians chapter 2. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, as a gift of God. It's not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, essentially what that says is that when we were sinners and when we were obnoxious, God loved us and blessed us. And you say, I've never been obnoxious. Oh, come on, you remember when you were a teenager, don't you? Don't you remember the way you spoke to your parents? Or don't you remember those times when you lost your temper at home? Or don't you remember those times when with passive-aggressive behavior you got out of control in the workplace? Don't you remember those moments that you have tried to suppress and forget when you were at your absolute worst? The Bible says we're at our absolute worst. God said, tell you what, I'm going to bless you out of this. I am going to send my son to give his life to redeem you from every sin and every obnoxious act and thought of all of life. I am going to do good for you. No charge, free, heaven thrown in, all of these things. And so if you are a Christian, you have these fabulous, unfathomable blessings from God. Forgiveness of sin, life eternal. If that were all there would be, that would be more than enough. But God has piled on his blessings materially. That is that we are loaded. We are the richest generation in the richest country of all of history. We have more food, more money, more luxuries than any other generation that has ever lived. You know how much stuff we've got? We have too much stuff, so much so that one of the fastest growing industries in America are these self-storage garages. There's several of them just within a mile or so of here. That is to say that we have so much stuff that we can't live with it. We send it on vacation and we go visit it two or three times a year. I mean, it's just insane by any standard of anybody else in all of history. if any of us were born in an earlier generation, or actually if we were born in this generation in many other parts of the world, we wouldn't have a car, we wouldn't have health insurance, we wouldn't have a telephone. Many days of the week we would be hungry. Many, if not most, of our children would be dead before they reached adulthood. Our life expectancy would be half of what we will actually live. And we would die painful, awful deaths of diseases that most of us never even have on our list of possible ways to die. By the standard of living of most people in the world, we are super rich. Today in Guatemala City or in Manila, there are people who live on the garbage dump. They scrounge for a living. In Manila, there are people that have been born there and grow up there and have their families there and die there, and they never go anywhere else. They are that poor that that is their home. In Africa, there are many places where thousands of children are bought or bitten by a river fly and therefore go blind. They could be cured with 50 cents worth of American medicine and have sight for the rest of their lives, but they're blind. In North Korea and Sudan, there has been widespread famine where people are actually starving to death. All of this is not to lay guilt on us. It's just to understand how great our material blessings are. The kind of decisions that we face are, if we're going to eat at home, do we buy the food at Cub or Rainbow or Byerly's or Lund's? Many of us say, you know, that's just too much work. Let's send out, you know. So we send out to Domino's or Pizza Hut or Papa John's. But then we say, you know, I don't want to do that. Now that Pizza Hut and Papa John's and Domino's don't do it within 30-minute guarantee, I just can't wait that long. So I'm going to go out. And now I've got to decide between McDonald's and Burger King and Taco Bell and Subway and Culver's. Or should I go to Fuddruckers? Or maybe I should go over to Wildfire or to Redstone or White Castle or any other elite restaurant here in the Twin Cities. I find that when I go into these restaurants, I'm sometimes paralyzed by the indecision of the multitude of choices that are there. Last week, I was in a fast food restaurant, and a family stomped out in hostile anger because a sandwich that they wanted wasn't available from this broad menu. I mean, even if we think of ourselves as poor, the truth is that we are rich. We are so rich that people from other nations of the world are willing to risk their lives in order to come and share in our prosperity. So God has blessed us spiritually and materially and personally. That is to say that every one of us has a catalog of special personal blessings that are customized to us. Remember when you prayed for help on a test that you were taking and God gave it to you? Remember when you applied for a job that you really needed and God came through and you got it? Remember when you were in the midst of grief and you didn't think that you could go on and God gave comfort and strength? Remember when you were in a relationship and you prayed for God's wisdom and the relationship was broken off and you thought it was the worst thing and it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to you? We can all make a list. Grab a pad and a pencil and start making that list, and don't put on it any of the blessings that God has given to someone else that you wish you had. Simply the blessings that God has given to each of us individually. And if we are thoughtful and honest, the list will be long and astonishing. That is because we are all personally blessed. The blessings are many. The great danger is that we will squander the blessings. The danger is that we will accept the blessings from God and then misuse them. There's also a danger that God will offer these blessings and we will not receive them. We will not accept them. You know how last year America was scared by anthrax attacks. Some yet undisclosed terrorist spread anthrax in New York City and Washington and in Boca Raton, Florida. There were deaths, tragic deaths. There were people that were exposed and afflicted. And the United States government intervened medically and provided Cipro for all of those who were exposed. Last week, there was a news story that came out that said that over half of those that were prescribed the medication never finished taking the drug. They just got too busy. So here was an enormous blessing to save from a terrible disease, and people just didn't bother. Or did you know that the majority of inheritances are just spent within a year or two? often people don't even remember how the money was spent. Or that too high a percentage of Americans don't take advantage of the 401k matching contribution from their employers. Or if they are offered free educational benefits from their employers, they either don't take them or don't finish the courses that they started. Did you know that in prosperous America, we give less than 2% to charities and churches? And strangest of all, the general rule of thumb is the more money people have percentage-wise, the less money they give. God greatly blessed the Old Testament nation of Israel, and they loved God's blessings. And they said, God, pour out the blessings all the more. The trouble is, they didn't want to be a blessing to anybody else. And eventually, God stopped blessing them. Our Minnesota license plates say that we live in the land of 10,000 lakes. And in good Minnesota fashion, that is a very modest understatement, because the Department of Natural Resources says we actually have 11,842 Minnesota lakes. You can go to their website and you won't find the Wooddale Pond on the list, the one that's there in the back, the one that one of our junior hires has named Goose Poop Pond. And it's never going to make it to our license plates, and it's never going to make it to the DNR list. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And one is that the water only goes in. It doesn't go out. That it rises and falls. It soaks into the ground. It turns green. It evaporates. But it isn't used for any other benefit other than that's where it ends up. You see, the blessings that we receive from God are intended to be blessings that we pass along to others. We are not intended to be storage tanks. We are intended to be supply lines, making space in our lives to get more blessings from God. Although Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is an astonishing escalation of the whole concept of getting and giving. That God gives to us so much so that we can give to others. But it's not just that. It is that God has experienced in his own lifestyle the joy of blessing others, and he wants us to experience that. So that the best part is not the blessings we receive. The best part is the joy of being a blessing to others. And here at Wooddale Church, we seek and we try to do that. We've been blessed. Just look around, and you can see very evidently that we have been greatly blessed by God. That is why we seek to give away a couple of million dollars a year to bless others around the world, so that the good that God has given to us can be the good that we give to them, to help the poor, to start churches, to send missionaries, to feed the hungry, to translate the Bible. We have regularly been in the process of starting other churches. Our goal has not been to collect everybody we can possibly get here. We have started churches for other denominations, six in the last 12 years. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Wooddalers have been invited to leave here and be the seed to starting new congregations, and they've gone. So if today is a typical day, there will be over 5,000 people at worship in the half dozen churches that Wooddale Church has started over the last 12 years. Every week, almost every day, we open our facilities here to businesses and to the community, sharing the blessings that God has given to us. We even give our sons and our daughters. You know, when you look at a list of Wooddale Church missionaries, many of them are familiar names because they are the names of people who are part of our congregation. Their parents and brothers and sisters, they're here. And some of these that have gone to some of the most difficult places in all of the world. We saw a few minutes ago a video that described the initiative that Wooddale Church is taking for those that have HIV/AIDS in Africa. It is that God has blessed us, and so we share the blessing with others. We want to give away those blessings. Not because we have to, but because God wants us to. And because we want to, because it is a joy to bless others. So I invite you to that joy of blessing others. It is to say that if God has given you money, then give some of it away. If God has given you health and strength, then volunteer to help somebody else. If God has given you a car, think of ways to use your car to be a blessing to another person. If God has given to you an apartment or a house, how can you bless others by entertaining them? If God has taught you how to pray in the midst of some white-hot crisis in your life, then what about praying for other people who are in the midst of their crises, and especially for those who are unbelievers, to come to faith in Jesus Christ? If God has given to you influence in the company where you work, how about sharing that influence to help someone who is unemployed to get a job? If God has blessed you by making you really smart, then how about using those smarts to tutor and mentor other people so they can learn and benefit from you? This weekend, we conclude Waddell's Worldwide Week, and we've taken a look. We've taken a look at what God is doing around the world, and I, for one, have been thrilled by the part that God has given to all of us in this. It is because you have shared the blessing that there are people, poor people in Guatemala, who now have homes and medicine who before did not. It is because of you and your generosity that we are right up to the conclusion of the translation of a New Testament in the Amazon jungle area of Colombia, where previously there was no written language. It is because of you that just almost exactly 1 year ago was the dedication of the Chumula Bible in southern Mexico, a Bible that was translated into a language where people were so hostile to the gospel that they killed everyone who became a believer. And 50,000 people have left their homes and villages to come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is because of you and your generosity that teenagers' lives in Minneapolis are being salvaged. Because of you that there is a movement of churches and new Christians in Romania. It is because of you, because you've shared the blessing, that the world is a better place, that people's lives have been changed, that the church is growing, and that God takes delight. So for everyone here who already knows the joy of sharing the blessing of God, and for anyone else who is thinking about it, I have a story. It is the story of the Zhuang people who live in a remote mountainous area of East Asia. They are very poor and missionaries cannot go there. It is a restricted access country. It is a place where goats find the natural vegetation to thrive, but the people are too poor to buy goats. And so, through your generosity, Wooddale has provided money for goat loans. It's not through Wells Fargo or U.S. Bank, but it is a system where families can apply, and when qualified, they are lent 4 goats, 1 male, 3 females, for a 2-year period. They have to take classes in which they learn about the care of the goats and the breeding of the goats and the marketing of goat products. The expectation is that normally each of those female goats will bear 8 kids over a 24-month period. At the end of 2 years, the borrowing family then returns the original 4 goats so they can be lent to another family, but now they have 24 goats of their own. They are in business, they have a cash income, they have food, and they know about Jesus Christ. It is an astonishingly generous way of transforming people's lives. The first part of this was done with 50 families with 200 goats last December, and the second phase of it is just about now ready to begin. Now, that's awfully simple. But it is a profound example of the amazing way in which God works. He blesses us. We share the blessing. 200 families in a remote Asian village have jobs and money and business and Jesus, and we experience the joy of blessing. God has blessed you. Share the blessing. God has blessed you. Be a blessing to someone else. God has really blessed you. Give that blessing away for Jesus' sake. Our Father, how we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. And hear from our hearts right at this moment how deeply grateful we are. It's true that at times we all grumble, but in the depths of our heart, we know that we have a lot. And we know that that lot comes from your generous hand. Now, God, out of the blessings that you have already and will give to us, may we be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.